Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we are joined by the only man we know who wears jeans to a pool party, Dr. Pants, as we review Transformers Escape Issue 3. Hasbro is getting in on the non-fungible tokens game, and we have some actor news related to the next Transformers live-action movie. Today is Friday, May 7th, 2021, and this is episode 232 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that is happy for Daryl that Mother's Day doesn't fall on his birthday this year. He just can't compete with Mom. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
Scott, the illustrious Dr. Pants.
Hello, everyone.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, everybody. It's tough being me. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you all so much for the support. Really appreciate it. If you are not a Donatron and you'd like to become one, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support. And also next week, we have the next episode of the Empire of Rust Transformers Live Play RPG podcast. Episode 49 is going up on the free feed for everyone. Steel Haven for some, Steel Trap for others. And that will be out Monday, May 10th at transmissionspodcast.com/rust. Check that out. Okay, let's jump right in and talk about some Transformers comics news. First up, we've got the next volume of IDW's Transformers More Than Meets the Eye series translated into Japanese. So this is the Japanese version of More Than Meets the Eye. This is volume 4, and we've got a brand new cover by artist Hayato Sakamoto. So it's really cool seeing More Than Meets the Eye catch on in Japan. So this will, this last volume collects issues 17 to 22. So this is basically the end of season one of More Than Meets the Eye. So I hope any Japanese Transformers fans who are you know, not confident in their English skills and wanted to read More Than Meets the Eye get the chance. I wonder what they're going to do from here because the next block would be Dark Cybertron, but you really need, I think you need Robots in Disguise to also have Dark Cybertron make sense. And then you'd have to go into season two of More Than Meets the Eye after Dark Cybertron. So I'm curious if they're going to do that or if they're just, well, I mean, things you've got a pretty big jump in,
let's make a Scramble City equivalent comic.
I mean, because, you know, season two of More Than Meets the Eye starts off, you've got Megatron as co-captain. So that would be a, you know, that would be a huge question mark as to why Megatron is suddenly on the ship if you haven't read Dark Cybertron. So that would be, I mean, I guess you could still do it. I mean, I guess people, the TF Wiki exists, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I'm, glad for all our Japanese Transformers fans who are happy to have this series translated.
I would love a print of that cover.
That's a gorgeous cover. Sakamoto is a fantastic artist.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Next, we've got covers for the upcoming More Than Meets the Eye, or My Little Pony Transformers crossover, the second series in that crossover. So issue 2. We've got one of the covers for issue 2, and actually both covers for issue 2 is by Beth McGuire Smith and Adam Bryce Thomas. So you can take a look at two of the covers there. And then we've also got one of the retailer incentive covers for issue 1. This was done by Anna Malkova, and she shows some of her initial sketches before producing that cover. So you can take a look at that. And the last bit of comics news, which is kind of came out of nowhere. Jeremy, you can take this one.
Yeah. I'm sure a bunch of other people got this too. I got an email from IDW on April 30th saying that their online comics provider Madefire suddenly shut down. So, I dug into it a little bit more, and it's like the company went into like bankruptcy at the beginning of April, but announced that they were shutting down to the surprise of IDW, Archie Comics, a number of other publishers that use them for like their individual company apps. And like IDW has like their IDW app, Transformers app, a TMNT app, you know, they have a bunch of different apps for the various brands. And all of that is gone. Well, I mean, I guess you can still log in as of right now, but they were like, you need to download your stuff and like log in and sync your stuff with the cloud. And they're going to have a new app sometime in May. It's not out as of recording time for this episode, but their new app is being developed by Inky Pen, who we talked about a couple years ago whenever they came out, because they were the company that brought digital comics to the Switch. So that company is now making the new IDW app, which is coming soon. But IDW has a page where they've laid out, like, you will be able to, as long as your stuff is synced, you'll be able to kind of log into the new Inky Pen developed app and bring all of your stuff over. So we'll see how that works. If you don't remember Madefire, maybe if you remember at the way back when Autocracy was coming out and motion comics were kind of the new cool thing, they did the Autocracy series as a motion comic, and it was okay. I mean, nothing, like, it's not really my thing, but that was Madefire's kind of gimmick, is they could do motion comics. And for me, my opinion and my recommendation to everyone, regardless, if you're going to get into digital comics, use Comixology. They're owned by Amazon, so they're not going to go out of business. And it's reliable. And for some publishers, if they choose to, and IDW is one, you can get DRM-free backup copies of anything that you purchase. So you can go in. And, I mean, it's tedious because you have to do it one at a time, but you can go in and get a DRM-free version of any IDW book that you've purchased. So if Comixology does shut down one day, you would still have those copies. And I know a number of people are digital only because they don't want to be like me and have 20 plus short boxes to move. But, you know, this is one of the problems you run into, and IDW does seem to go like this. Is, I remember when they went from Comixology to another company that went out of business, and then they went to Madefire, and now Madefire is going out of business. It's just, it's a risk you take when you're using the individual company apps. So like I said, I would recommend just go with Comixology and get all of your digital books there. So when the new app does come out, we will be sure to talk about that and kind of lay out what you have to do to get your books over. So I know, Daryl, you when we were talking about this before the show, you said you do have thoughts. So what are your comments on this whole situation?
Well, I remember back to when we first started the show and we would interview artists and we would ask them, it was one of our standard questions when we talked to comic creators, if you know, where they kind of stood on digital versus physical. And we really don't do that anymore. I'm not a digital kind of guy. The only digital books I read are the ones that we do for the show. And that's because they're early and there's really no other way to do them.
They're watermarked.
Yeah. So, I'm not a big fan of them. I much rather prefer the physical copies in my hand, but I get it. You know, you touched on it there, having to move 20 boxes. I'm sitting here in my room looking at easily 40 odd short boxes. It's ridiculous, you know? So they're staying with the house, whether I move or not. these apps, I look at these things and you make a good point about Comixology being something that doesn't go anywhere, but I kind of have the same feeling about Comixology and any of these apps as I do about Netflix and any of these other streaming services, right? They're good for what you want to watch if you want to watch it now, right? If you want to have a show or a movie that you want to be able to watch multiple times for years and years and years, buy a physical copy of it. That's my opinion. You know, you see that Netflix or Disney, you know, has Netflix. Here's the example that I was going to make. Okay. Netflix produced the Daredevil TV show, right? Like, okay, well, that's a great TV show. And they put, was it two or three seasons together? Fantastic. I'm going to watch them on Netflix and I'm going to be able to go back and watch them on Netflix. Well, the deal with Disney and Fox happens and now all the assets have to go back to Disney. Okay, well, what does that mean for the show that I watch on Netflix? Well, it's not going to be on Netflix anymore. Well, what? I have this thing on Netflix. Well, now they're all going to go and be on Disney Plus. Well, now I got to get that. Okay, well, what happens down the line if something else happens or they decide they're not going to have Disney Plus anymore and it's going to be something else and all this content goes away? It's all digital. They can just flick a switch and it's gone, right? You see it all the time with Netflix. They'll tell you what they're bringing in, what the new stuff is coming, but they never really tell you what's leaving. You'll find it out because somebody like, you know, some fandom or some thing you're into will kind of tell you, hey, you know, this season of Transformers is going to be leaving Netflix on this. And they go, oh, damn, that's, you know, I didn't know that anything actually left Netflix. Well, it does. Right. And that's the kind of thing that I worry about with this kind of digital collections. Right. And you know, DRM free is fantastic for this kind of stuff. I can keep it and it'll always be digital. Right. Then you have to maintain that collection somewhere. Right.
Right. You have to make sure you back it up.
You have to back it up. And do you lose it? What happens with a CD that you burn it onto or something like that? Or if you back it up to something, you got a lot of people that aren't great with computers. Right. And they just want to be able to click a button on their phone or on their tablet and read their book. And I get that. But it's not as easy to continue this collection in the future. Right. And so that's why I'm going to stick with buying my paper copies.
I'll add on to that really quick because I got into a discussion with somebody about this with digital and video games, and it applies to this, too. Even when it's not streaming services, any digital thing you buy, at some point, they could just take it off the store. And if you don't have it downloaded, even though you paid money specifically for that item, you can't access it anymore. And it's gone. So when it comes to, if it's something you want to hang on to, like, make sure that you either buy it physically or you make a backup of it. Because there's plenty of times that people out there have bought a video game off of the Xbox Marketplace or PSN store and they delete it because they need space on their hard drive and then it gets taken off the store and they spent money and it's gone and they'll never get it back. So
yeah,
just something to keep in mind with that.
Yeah. I look at digital video games the exact same way, right? I enjoy being able to buy my video game, play it. And then when I'm done with it, sell it to a store like an EB Games or a Game Cycle or whatever the hell they want to call themselves these days and say, this is my game. I'm going to sell it to you. You're going to give me 50 cents for it. And then I'm going to put that 50 cents into, you know, this $80 game that I want to buy next. Right.
Right.
But it's still whatever they give you, it's still more than the nothing that you would get by not being able to return to sell the digital copy.
But at the same time, it's always nice to have digital as a thing there in case you can't get a hold of what you're trying to get. Because if you can't get a hold of the comic you want, there's at least a digital option to get it.
It's true. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's nice to have both. It's nice to have both options.
Yeah. And Charles, you have any thoughts?
I generally agree with what you guys are saying. I see digital comics as a convenience where if it's something that I'm not really, you know, that I'm not collecting, but I just want to read the story, I'm interested in the story, and I think it's a nice way to get, you know, to try out other comics and comics you're not really, you don't have a huge vested interest in. Also, take advantage of sales and price reductions, because usually they will heavily discount digital comics compared to the physical comics, even the collected editions, with trade paperbacks and compendiums, you can get a sizable amount for not a lot of money. But yeah, definitely make sure even with Comixology, I think just Marvel and DC are the holdouts that don't let you do the DRM free backup copies, but you should check for the comics that you're buying and make sure that they do give you that DRM free copy, because then you can get a download and archive it wherever, you know. There's a larger rant about the digital products and ownership and why we as customers only have licenses to things and don't actually own anything anymore. So, but I think we won't get into that here, but that's that goes for like all digital media, video games, movies, TV shows, audio, books, audio books, comics, all these things, they kind of have us over a barrel as customers compared to the companies. But
yeah, so anyway, we'll have news when IDW has their new app out and talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were using the apps, it really just it sucks.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess from the comic company perspective, they want a larger share of the revenue when people buy the digital comics. I imagine Amazon/Comixology takes a sizable chunk for, as their finder's fee. So that's why they are always pushing their own apps to buy through their store, their storefront. But yeah, that's the risk is what happens to Madefire, for example. All right, well, that's all our comics news, so we will move on to our comic review.
Hello again. This is Jeremy from the future as I am editing this podcast. And I come bearing the same news that I brought to you the last time I had to interrupt the show and record something like this. We were again going to have our review of Transformers Escape number 3, which we recorded with Mike a couple weeks ago. This time we had planned on just playing it and then letting Dr. Pants give it his perspective on the book. Unfortunately, today, May 5th, we got the news that the book has now been delayed from today until May 12th. We will figure out what we need to do in the future. We will likely now play the review on a future show, maybe wait until the book comes out. I don't know. And then we will also play Dr. Pants's reaction and whoever else is on the show when who play it, we will let them have their thoughts too. But anyway, we just wanted to let you know that's why there is no comic review. IDW's schedule is so messed up at this point. This book was supposed to come out February 24th, and now here it is May 5th, and there is no book. So I don't know what to say. Anyway, that is it. And I guess we will go on to Transformers Media News.
All right. In media news this week, we've got ourselves a couple things. Now, I'm going to save this first one till the end because it's a little heavy as well. This alt mode episode is going to be, this is a good one. But in TV streaming news, we've got seasons 2 and 3 of Cyberverse are available on iTunes and Amazon Video. So, if you're looking for something to watch, seasons 2 and 3 of Cyberverse, go and watch them. They're good. I mean, enjoyed them.
This ties into our digital discussion because Hasbro was putting all these episodes up on YouTube. Now they're all gone from YouTube and they're being sold on iTunes and Amazon Video.
Is it for sale or are, because Amazon Video, I'm assuming is part of Prime, isn't it? Or no?
But these are on the store side.
Oh, sons of bitches.
Wait, so they're off YouTube? So the only way to watch them now is to pay for them. Crap, I didn't finish the series.
Well, I think actually season 1 and season 2 are on Netflix, I believe. But season 3 is not on Netflix at the moment.
Okay.
I can help you out. I know a pirate.
That sounds good.
And continuing with our trickle of movie news, Dominique Fishback has landed the leading role in Transformers 7. We talked about her, I think it was a couple weeks back now, and how she was being looked at for the role. And now it looks like she has landed it. So this has got a tentative release date of June 24th, 2022. So summer blockbuster slot. And, there's not a whole lot else to go on here, but, she is a lead in that new Transformers movie.
One, just interesting tidbit from this same article the TFW 2005 guys pointed this out is that apparently, Lorenzo de Bonaventura's production company is no longer working on Transformers movies.
Oh, so, fantastic.
That's big news.
That is.
Yeah, Skydance is executive producing.
Yeah.
Skydance. Who's behind that? Shit. I know that one.
That's Walking Dead guy, right?
Is it?
No, Kirkman? That's Skybound, isn't it? Isn't that Skybound?
Yeah. Oh.
So I don't know what Skydance is.
Skydance is David Ellison. I don't know who that is.
Oh.
Yeah, I was thinking of Skybound. Oh, Skydance is behind the new Without Remorse with Michael B. Jordan.
It just came out, yeah, okay. Like this week.
Yeah. Looks like, so they've done, they're doing the new Top Gun thing, it looks like.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Top Gun Maverick, whenever that comes out.
Cool.
Last summer.
Yeah.
It should have been out last summer.
Right on. All right. Well, that's good. I had enough of Lorenzo de Bonaventura.
Yeah.
All right. Now it's time to dig into this this meaty topic that we had here. This is the it says Hasbro to generate NFTs based on Transformers and G.I. Joe properties. So this was the title. And it was quickly kind of debunked by Ant over at tfu.info. They're not generating them. They're looking into it. So we all know what NFTs are, right? I really don't have to go into that. I should probably go into that.
you should probably mention it. Yeah.
Okay.
You got to think of the listener, not us.
Yeah. So no, it's okay. So I'm just going to read it here. I've been kind of looking into these myself. Not that I could ever afford one, but I've been looking into these a little bit myself because I have a friend who's made it quite big in the blockchain industry, and he continuously tries to get me into it. And I guess stupidly said no originally early on, and now he's a millionaire, and I'm talking about Transformers with you, idiots. So
I mean, it's gambling though, Daryl. I mean, there is a huge upside. There's also a huge downside.
That's true. That is very true. Yes. Okay. So, an NFT or non-fungible token is a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain that certifies a digital asset to be unique and therefore not interchangeable. NFTs can be used to represent items such as photos, videos, audio, and other types of digital files. Access to any copy of the original file, however, is not restricted to the buyer of the NFT. While copies of these digital items are available for anyone to obtain, NFTs are tracked on blockchains to provide to the owner with proof of ownership that is separate from copyright. The NFT market value tripled in 2020, reaching more than 250 million. So this has kind of gotten out of hand recently. There's a lot of videos and a lot of descriptions online about it. NFTs, it's a lot of people will try and tell you about, like, so a non-fungible token, it didn't really describe it in there. It's a non-fungible token is something that cannot be broken up. So if somebody were to take a picture of you and sell you that picture, you can't sell pieces of that picture for fractions of its original value. Right? But if you had something that's a fungible token, is something like a Bitcoin, where you can actually sell fractions of that Bitcoin.
I think that's good. We don't have to go any further.
Yeah. In terms of kind of what Hasbro might have been doing, if you look at an NFT as, it, you know, say you go to a convention and you get a comic creator to sign a book, and you have the witness there from what's the slabbing company?
EGC?
Yes, EGC. And then they take it and they slab it. So you have a single copy of this book that a bunch of people have, but yours is unique because it is, so, you know, it's been signed, but then it's also been recorded, where CGC has a record. This particular one is yours. And this is just kind of essentially a digital version of that.
Right.
Except worse.
Yeah.
I mean, I've fail to understand the appeal of NFTs, maybe because I'm not a rich idiot. But I mean, like, you don't own the copyright, you don't own the rights to whatever the NFT represents. It's just bragging rights, right? It's just bragging rights. It's just like I have the only token that represents this digital item. So bully for me, but anyone can copy it. So, and I don't own the copyright to it. So what do I own exactly?
Isn't it more like owning like a piece of artwork, where if you have the original, it's like you have the original and you could brag about it, but anybody could get like a print of that artwork and still be able to hang up that artwork and admire it and everything, but it's just not the original?
Sure, but it's worse than that because you don't even have the original.
This is true, but you have the only one that's, I guess, worth money? Is that what it's saying?
But it's, But why is it worth money? Because other rich idiots.
Because you could sell it.
Because you could sell it to other rich idiots. That's the only reason. Yeah.
And again, that's the same way like the art like market kind of works, where people will pay exorbitant amounts of money for a piece of art just because somebody famous made it.
But the art exists. That's the key difference is the art exists. It's a physical item that
which
is real. The NFT is a number in a database somewhere, and apparently these things are also killing the environment because all the processing that it takes to manage these things.
Yes. Yeah. The CPU power needed to do anything blockchain related is fairly intense.
Yeah.
And it's also why you can't buy a lot of video cards right now, because all these people are using them to mine for cryptocurrency and stuff.
The Dr. Pants, the analogy I would also use is this is like the difference between gambling at Vegas and playing all those free-to-play smartphone games. Like the free-to-play smartphone games where you get, you know, like you get random quote-unquote prizes for how, you know, when you pay money to buy tokens, and then you can use those tokens in the game to win digital characters or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just like gambling, except worse, because you can never win any money.
This is true. And here's the thing. I wasn't trying to defend it in any way, because I also think it's dumb. But
yeah, I mean, it's I don't understand. I mean, I mean, if you've got money to spend on it, I think there are a million things to spend your money on that's better than an NFT, but.
Is this just another instance of us being too old for this too? Are we not hip enough?
I don't think it's that. I think it's a status symbol. I don't think it's a young versus old. I think it's I have so much money that I can spend my money on these digital things that no one else has. And but again, it's not real. I mean, okay, you've got a number in a database that represents, and it's the only database in the world that represents this thing. Congratulations. I mean, I'm not going to pay you for your number in a database. So, I mean, maybe you can find someone else to buy it from you, and you guys can trade them. But
NFTs are hitting the collectible trading card market as well right now. And if NBA Top Shot is a collectible trading card type NFT system where they release packs of NFTs, and they are essentially highlights of certain players doing things in the games, and they are numbered and encrypted on the blockchain, and these are videos that you can get on YouTube for nothing. And then there's nothing different about these clips either. They're exactly the same camera angles and everything like that. But it's the only real difference is that these are now certified as being NBA product and that they are, you know, encrypted. So you are now the owner of this highlight. Okay. Fantastic. So now I can, then there are commons, uncommons, and rares and super rares, I think, of the levels of these things. And they will trade, or they will go up in value. It seems ridiculous, but the thing is that some of these things are selling for ungodly amounts of money. Right. So people will want to, companies want to get in on it. Like, you know, the NFL, the NHL, the MLB have all seen the amounts that Top Shot, these things are people are spending on it, thinking, shit, we got to get in on this. So you're going to see your favorite sports, you know, start to sell NFTs. And if you're a regular fan or a collector of anything sports related, you're like, shit, now I'm missing out on this. So it's that FOMO. As a collector, you're thinking, now I got to get in on this because I, you know, and you really don't, because like Charles was saying, these are just rich jerks that are essentially just trying to find a way to, I don't even know if it's not like it's money laundering, but it's like, it's another kind of currency. It's another kind of investment, right? These people don't give a shit if they've got a LeBron James, you know, NFT card, right? That's a super rare. They don't care. They just know that this one is supposed to be rare and it's worth this much to somebody. And they're going to just sell it to them for $100,000. It's just a product that they can flip. They don't care. They're not, they might be fans, but they're more fans of money.
Mm-hmm.
And this friend of mine who got into blockchain, I have never ever in my life met a bigger fan of money than this guy.
I mean, it's essential. It's, I see it very much a parallel to the stock market. Like ideally the stock market is supposed to be you're buying pieces of companies and investing in these companies. And when companies do well and have higher profits, their stock, you know, is supposed to go up. But, you know, these days, all the tricks that people do to manipulate stock prices really has nothing to do with the actual performance of the company or the profitability of the companies. And so it's just a casino. It's just gambling. And I mean, if you're smart, if you're really into that and you are, you know, plugged into what's going on, you can definitely make a lot of money and hopefully avoid the risky, situations where you lose all your money. But, for me, I'm not that rich. I don't have accountants to figure this out for me. So I'll invest in mutual funds, which diversify all your stocks. And so it's basically you reduce the risk, but you get like a reasonable rate of growth. And that's fine. I'm not going to, chase the hot stock tips to try and game the system. And this NFT seems like that, but worse, because it really has no connection to anything real. So, I mean, if you have enough money to burn and can buy these NFTs and trade them and try to make a profit that way, it's gambling. That's all it is.
What we're seeing right now is there's a lot of artists who are getting in on it because their art can be worth money if it's digital now, right? Mm-hmm. This was a story about a month ago, and we never really covered it because it wasn't really Transformers related. The only thing that was kind of related was the fact that it was an artist that had worked on Transformers. But Jose Delbo, I think sold an NFT for, I think it was $200,000. So it made national news, and you could probably Google the story right now, but it's, he made a sizable chunk of cash because he produced a piece of digital art. I don't know what the art looks like. I know Jose Delbo is a fairly well-respected artist. You know, he did a lot of work in the 80s. This is something that a lot of artists are looking at. I follow an artist by the name of Stanley Art Germ. I think it's Lee. Yeah, Lau. Sorry.
How much did you say that NFT sold for?
I thought it was $200,000.
$2 million.
$2 million. All right.
Almost $2 million. He's 87 years old.
Well, there you go.
It was
that
Wonder Woman.
That Wonder Woman. Looking at the story, that Wonder Woman. That is not a $2 million art piece.
But that's the thing. It doesn't matter what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it looks like. So, thing yeah, is, so that, DC that's the thing. Whoever. Out,
go what? Ahead. Yeah. I was just going to say whoever bought DC. That. Sorry to over there. I will keep my mouth shut. Go ahead.
DC put out a NDA saying that their characters were not to be used in NFTs. Right? Now, humorously, and I find it very funny, that NDA was made into an NFT.
Of course.
And I give him credit. That's funny as shit. But now, who can, now this Jose Delbo thing, this has happened after that NDA came out. What happens here? Right? People know that he did it because it's national news, right? But the whole point of the blockchain and crypto, you know, stuff is that it's supposed to be, you know, anonymous, you know, it's supposed to be untraceable. So if nobody knew that it was Jose Delbo that did this thing, could DC sue Jose Delbo for using their Wonder Woman character in a piece of art? Right. That's the question. What's the legal repercussions of this? What can happen? Right. What's stopping me from taking a photograph of a transformer in my collection and turning that into an NFT? Nothing is stopping me from doing that. Right. Hasbro would be pissed. Right.
Well, didn't we just say that the NFT does not confer any copyright information? So really it's not infringing on copyright. So
it's not.
Why not?
Say you go to a convention and you ask an artist to draw you an Optimus Prime. I mean, that's also unlicensed.
Right. It's true. Well, what just happened at the Oscars with Chadwick Boseman?
I don't watch the show.
Well, it was news because it was they commissioned somebody to make an NFT of Chadwick Boseman's head. Very poor taste, if you ask me, but
what?
And they put it in the gift bags of everybody that was nominated or something like that.
Mm. I don't like that at all. Yeah.
So these things are worth a fortune right now, right? But it's now they've turned Chadwick Boseman's likeness into a commodity. Right? Why? Like anything can be an NFT. That's the whole point of it. But it's ridiculous. Why? You know, there's no legal recourse because there's no copyright stuff done. It's almost as if it is the Wild West right now of this thing, right? Somebody could take a picture of me and turn it into an NFT and sell it to somebody. And now my likeness is being thrown around the internet as a digital NFT. And I have nothing to do about it. If it sells for $1 million, I have nothing. I can't say, hey, that's a picture of me. Where's my, you know, my cut of this? Well, it doesn't belong to you.
I mean, that's the thing. The NFT is not the actual picture. The NFT is the unique number that represents that picture, but it's not the actual picture.
Oh my God, this is stupid. This whole situation is really dumb.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. And the further you dig down this rabbit hole, the more your head explodes. It's so ridiculous. And what was it? There's a guy who was running one of these NFT companies, and his motto is, what is it? If you don't have time to understand what these NFTs are, something along these lines. If you don't have time to understand what this is, I don't have time to explain it to you. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. If I'm confused and you want more people to buy into this, you should be explaining it to everybody.
Mm-hmm. That sounds a lot like this is the difference between a religion and a cult. And a religion, they'll explain the entire religion to you, and you know, you're free to either subscribe to their beliefs or say no thank you. In a cult, they say just come in and don't worry about it and just do what we tell you.
Mm-hmm. All will be explained and revealed later. Mm-hmm.
The leader is good. The leader is great. We surrender our will.
No, leader.
As of this date.
No, leader.
So anyway, I don't I wouldn't put it past Hasbro to dip their toe into the pool of NFTs, but it's ridiculous. These things are absolutely ridiculous. Does the Transformers fandom have, you know, people in it that would buy into this? Of course it does. It's got lots of people that would do this, right? They just sold a $700 Optimus Prime in 10 minutes. They sold out of it, right? You know, they've got people spending $2,000 on a Unicron that they could have bought for $600 2 years earlier, right? You know, yes, there's a lot of rich idiots in the Transformers fandom. I wish I was a rich idiot. I would probably be buying a lot of these.
I mean, the sad thing is sometimes they're not that rich, but they still spend the money.
That's there you go. That's true.
When you're spending your rent money and your food money on the NFT, that's a bad situation.
Yeah. But to anyone out there who's actually curious about what the hell this is, there are a bunch of different videos out there on what an NFT is. People try to explain it really well. Try as best you can is to get an unbiased opinion, because there's a lot of people out there that are like, they fully drank the Kool-Aid on what these NFTs are. And, you know, they're going to paint the picture of it being, you know, really good and really easy to get into. And it's, you know, you're going to be a millionaire if you get into these things. And then there's going to be the people that are going to shit on it, like, you know, that we just did. So if you're going to want an unbiased opinion, try and find those. And they are out there, but just, you know, they're going to be a little bit more informative about the ins and outs. And it's, there's a lot of, you know, digital stuff that you got to know. It's not as easy as just calling up your accountant or your money guy and saying, hey, buy me 100 shares of Microsoft. Okay. It's not that simple. So anyway, we'll leave it at that. It's, you know, NFTs are a bit of a pain in the ass, but, you know, I think the discussion is not over when it comes to NFTs. We'll probably talk about this again.
All right. And that will do it for media news. And we will move on to convention news.
All right. We have one thing here in convention news. TF Nation is presenting Spotlight Tanya Gunadi on May 29th. Tanya Gunadi was the voice of Miko on Transformers Prime. And this is an online event that's going to be ticketed. And you will get access to this is going to be kind of a small taste of what TF Nation is normally. You'll get access to various segments, a live meet and greet, depending on what your ticket is. And certain levels will even get exclusive art from Ed Perry, who is he works in comics and has done other stuff for TF Nation. So we'll have a link to the TF Nation announcement for this. And then they also do have the big broadcast of 2021 coming up as well. So nice to see that they're figuring out other ways of doing things in this still lockdown time that they have over in the UK. So I think this is going to be really cool. And I met Tanya Gunadi at a BotCon like in 2011, I think, when Transformers Prime was still like on the air. So it'll be interesting to look back on it and kind of get, you know, her opinions and stuff, you know, now what 10 years past when the show was on. So anyway, check that out. And that is all we have for convention news.
All right. And that brings us to the end of the show. As always, we end by giving a shout out to our masterpiece donatrons. So thank you so much to John 4X 11 Good and Dinobot Maximize for continuing to support the show at our highest level. We really appreciate it, which is why we give you a shout out in every episode. And Dr. Pants, why don't you tell everyone where they can find your stuff online?
So you can find me and my friends doing the Nerdstradamus thing at Nerdstradamus.com. There's links to everywhere you can find us there. Our main source of entertainment, I guess you would call it, is the Nerdstradamus YouTube channel. So just hit that up at YouTube. We mostly do video game stuff. And for anybody who's into anime or music, my co-host did a cover of the Gurren Lagann theme recently, and we did a music video for that. Even if you're not into the series itself, give it a look. It's a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun playing with drills during the music video, so check that out. And you can find us on all the social medias, and we're Nerdstradamus everywhere, except for Twitter. We're Nerdstradamus DL. But yeah, there you go.
All right. And we always have merchandise available at our TeePublic store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. So you can check that out. We've got lots of shirts, masks, other merchandise you can get with the Transmissions logo. But if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that helps out the show. So transmissionspodcast.com/shop. All right, we're at the end. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.